Well, this morning, we're going to wrap up this series called Grace. The simplest definition of the word grace is unearned favor, unearned blessings from God. It's not something that we deserve. It's just the grace of God. You know, if you're a born-again child of God, you need to know that God's favor is absolutely on your life. 1 John 3:1 in the NIV says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us." Lavished. Poured it out on us. That we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. That's what we are. We are His children. And you know what? I know personally that every parent favors their child. They want the best for them. Let me just put it like this. They're willing to cheer for their children, but not just that. They're in their child's corner. In fact, they would get in the ring for their child. Now, if you're not familiar with a boxing match, that might be wasted on you, but I'm just telling you that a parent is for their child. They favor their child. And you need to know that your Heavenly Father is for you, that He favors you. Not because we're perfect. No, His favor is on our lives because of the grace of God. There's grace for our past, amen, to put the past behind, overcome the past. There's grace for our present, our current situation, and all that we're dealing with. And there's grace for our future, that God has good things in store for us in the days ahead. But you need to know also that God's grace is on our life to be able to finish whatever task, whatever assignment, whatever He has given us to do in this life, His grace, His favor is on us to be able to accomplish that by God's grace. Oh, you need to know this. By God's grace, you can absolutely do anything He wants you to. God doesn't ask anything of us, but that He doesn't give us the grace to be able to do it. By His grace, you can finish every assignment. By His grace, you can fulfill His call on your life. By His grace, you can complete your mission. Believe for favor on your schoolwork. Believe for favor at your job, in the workplace. Believe for God's favor on your home. Believe for God's favor on your children, your family. Believe for God's favor on your whole life. Amen. He loves you, and you are His child, and He wants to show you His grace. You know, here we are already, the fourth Sunday of the new year. Wow, it just seems like it goes really, really fast. I mean, it won't be long till we're looking back on this year. And I hope that you have some plans, some visions, some dreams of things that you intend to accomplish this year. And more importantly is, what does God want to accomplish in us this year? But many times, you know, we start off the new year with a New Year's resolution. Anybody start with a New Year's resolution? Here's two really popular ones. I think they're actually the most popular ones, is that, well, you know, we're going to have this exercise routine and we're going to do this diet. Whole lot of people start off, they're all gung-ho about it, and it's not very long. In fact, you know what? I find a lot of the time that those New Year's resolutions, basically, they just become fuel for feelings of guilt and failure, because it's not, here we are 3.5 weeks in, and a lot of us were already like, didn't make it, didn't stick with it. But I want you to understand what I'm talking about this morning is much more than just a New Year's resolution. There are things in each and every one of our lives that we start and we intend to finish, but we don't. Important things in life. Listen, I know that there are a lot of things in life that, you know, they're not really that important. Maybe it was just for a season. But when God is in it, we need to follow through and fulfill the things that God wants us to do. I mean, maybe some of you decided to read the Bible through this year. Maybe you decided that you're going to have so much prayer time with the Lord each and every morning. You know, I see people a lot of times, they come to the church at the beginning of the year and they intend on getting involved. And, you know, sometimes people will even, they join the church and they want to be a part. But in just a few months down the road, they're no longer going to church. They don't even go anymore, much less get involved. You as a pastor, I've seen it over and over the years where young couples will bring their child and dedicate them to the Lord. And you know, in their heart, their intention, they're sincere. In their heart, their intention is to raise their children in church, to teach them the fear and admonition of the Lord. But then as we go along, sometimes it's just a few months and they don't bring the kids to church anymore. What happened? I believe God put that in their heart. I believe they were sincere, and yet they didn't finish. They didn't stick with what God had put in their heart. You know, I've seen it with tithing. So many people, they decide they're going to give, they're going to tithe, but it doesn't last. I'm thinking about our former pastor, Harold Nichols, who pastored the church 50 years. He was married to his sweetheart for 70 years. And he would say that one of the keys to a blessed life and a blessed marriage was tithing. And he and his sweetheart tithed for 70 years. I just want you to understand that there are things that are important that we follow through with, that we finish. We can't just start things. You know, it doesn't matter how good our intentions, we have to be able to finish. And here's what I want you to understand. You see, in our own strength and ability, we all face challenges and struggles and battles of all kinds, personal weaknesses and dealing with just the stuff of life. But here's the thing, God's grace is enough to carry us through, to finish whatever God gives us to do. You know, every time I've ever done a wedding, I said something to this effect, and the couple repeated these vows, as long as we both shall live. And I believe that every couple that I ever married was absolutely sincere. But do you know that some couples don't make it? They mean it when they say, as long as we both shall live, but they don't finish. I want to tell you this morning that by the grace of God, we can finish whatever we do for God. You know, every believer is aware that they're a part of the body of Christ. And we all understand this, that each of us has a work to do for God. Jesus said he would build his church, but he's not doing it just by himself. No, he's using his people. He uses his body to build the church that he's coming back for. Every one of us has a part in that. And here's what I want you to understand. We have to finish. We have to keep doing what God has given us to do. Have you finished? Have you completed your task? We all want to hear those words someday. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. You know, to hear well done, you have to be done. And we haven't finished yet. There's more to do. Jesus is always our example. In John 17:4, Jesus was able to pray this to the Father. He said, I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. I finished the work you've given me to do. Well, that's what we want to be able to say when this life is past, that we finished what he gave us to do. And I know we all have things that we haven't finished yet. And I said, you know, sometimes it may be that those things were unimportant, or maybe they were just for a season. But some things we know we're supposed to finish. It's important that we finish. You know, in life, it's not really important how you start. I know a lot of times, you know, in this world, people focus on who has the advantages and who gets the best start. But in the end, in the race of life, what really matters is not how you start, but it's how you finish. It's where you end up. And one of the amazing things about God's grace is it will carry you to the end, to the finish line. God's favor on your life will provide you whatever you need to finish. We talked about these verses last week, but it just speaks to the message today. 1 Corinthians 15:9-10, Paul says, I am the least of the apostles who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. That's what you call a terrible start. I mean, you can't get much of a much worse of a start than to start off persecuting the church of Jesus. A terrible start. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul says he worked harder than everybody else, but it wasn't him. It was the grace of God that was with him. You see, God gave him what he needed in order to be able to fulfill the task, the mission, the call that he had put upon his life. And I want you to understand that the same is true for us. Whatever God calls us to do, whatever he purposes for us to fulfill, we need to know that he's going to give us the grace to be able to do that. That's why the Apostle Paul was able to say in 2 Timothy 4:7, I fought the good fight. I have finished my race. I've kept the faith. He finished his race by grace. And that's how we do it. You see, sometimes, even though we know better, I think somehow, you know, we start to feel like that it's so dependent upon our strengths and abilities and wisdom. Oh no, how much more we need to rely upon the grace of God. What does it take to finish with grace? Again, Jesus is always our example, but I want to say we refuse to give up because our trust is in him. I want to read Hebrews 12:1-2. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. He's our example, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Endurance. Don't quit. Don't quit. Refuse to give up. No matter how many setbacks, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how many times we might fail, we just won't quit. We keep our eyes on Jesus and refuse to quit. You see, we're keeping our eyes on Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. If we'll keep our eyes on him, we'll be able to finish. You know, there was a time in Israel when the temple was destroyed by the Babylonians and the people were taken captive. But eventually, the people began to come back to Jerusalem, and it became Zerubbabel's job to rebuild the temple. It seemed impossible, and the people were discouraged, and they quit. And I just want you to understand that when Solomon originally built the temple, he had all of this wealth that his father David had acquired in defeating their enemies and the spoils of war. He had men who were craftsmen, men who were artisans, people that knew how to do the things that needed to be done. He had all of this, and he was able to build this wonderful temple. Zerubbabel has none of that. They don't have the money. They don't have the artisans. They don't have the people to do the job. There's no way in the natural that he can do this. It was so great. The task was so great. It was monumental. And they had little help. What they did have in abundance was obstacles and opposition. It seemed impossible. I want you to put yourself in Zerubbabel's place this morning. Do you ever feel like there's no way? Like you just don't have the resources? You just don't have what it takes? You don't have the advantages that others have? I think we've all been there. But God has a plan. For every life, there's a race that we must run. There are tasks that have been assigned to us personally, and it's going to involve difficulty, and it's going to involve faith. It's going to involve God. And when you fulfill the purpose of God in your life, it will be by the grace of God. Now, some of you, it may be serving in a particular area of ministry. One of your tasks might be to reach a certain person for the Lord, or maybe it's your involvement in the workplace and how you can reach people there. Maybe your task right now is for you to finish an educational degree. Maybe part of your task is to see a marriage restored or another relationship reconciled. Maybe one of your tasks is to build a business or to restore your own personal finances. Maybe you're trying to fulfill a call that God has put on your life. But whatever tasks, whatever promises that God has given to you, you need to put yourself in Zerubbabel's place this morning. This word is for you. Zechariah 4, and we're going to read 6 through 10, and we'll come back and talk about it. But this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For these 7 rejoiced to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. I want to say again, God has a plan for every life. There are things that he wants each and every one of us to accomplish. That's right. And we do that by God's grace. That's how we carry out those tasks. You know, I know that for every parent, one of the tasks that God has for you as a Christian parent is that you raise your children to know the Lord, to serve the Lord. Now, I want to tell you what you need to get that done. You're going to need God's grace. How can you do that in this crazy world we live in now? By the grace of God. It may seem impossible sometimes. It may seem like you failed sometimes. Don't discount the grace of God. With God, all things are possible. Yes. Maybe as a Christian businessman, you've been given this task to be able to influence others and to set an example as a godly Christian, showing others the character and the goodness of God in the way that you conduct yourself. Here's something I know that we all have in common. We all have an assignment in the body of Christ to be a part of what He's doing in the earth. And I just want to say to you, none of us can do it on our own. You know, we read about the Apostle Paul, and he talks about the grace of God on his life and how that this is why he was able to do the things that he did. We need to understand that whatever task God gives us, it is also God's grace at work in us that helps us to fulfill whatever that task might be. So let's go back to Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. He answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." It's not by the might or the power of man. You see, so often we look to natural things and we think that's the key. But God says it's by His Spirit. That's what we need, is God's help. Amen. That's what gets it done. When you feel like there's no way, it's because we need to be looking to the Lord and counting on Him instead of natural things. We have to realize that without His help, the Bible says we labor in vain. You know, sometimes people try and try and they fail, and then they blame God, even though they weren't really trusting God, but we're instead trusting in themselves. I want to share this with you this morning. It's something I read that Joyce Meyer said, and I could certainly identify with it, and I think you will be able to as well. She said, "I discovered years ago that every time I became frustrated, it was because I was trying to do something myself in my own strength. Instead of putting my faith in God and receiving His grace, receiving a revelation of God's grace was a major breakthrough for me. I was always trying to do something and leaving God out of the loop. I tried to change myself and my husband and children. Tried to get healed, tried to prosper, tried to make my ministry grow, tried to change every circumstance in my life that I didn't like. I was frustrated because none of my trying was producing any good results. God will not permit us to succeed without Him. If He did, we'll take the credit that is due Him." Oh, and how we need to learn just to trust Him and allow His grace to help us. He favors us. He's for us. He wants us to fulfill that assignment. He wants us to accomplish those things. He says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." You see, His grace is more than enough. Even in all of our shortcomings and our failures, His grace is enough. When you don't have the strength, when you don't have the resources, grace. It's by His Spirit, He says. You see, the Lord can cause things to come together. It's amazing how we can do everything we know to do to change a person, and we just make it worse. But then, when God moves on their heart, when God deals with them, when God sets things in motion, it's amazing how it can finally come together. I just want you to understand, you see, that we just need God's grace, that it's by His Spirit. It's not just us doing our part, but we have to always realize we're co-laborers with the Lord. We're counting on God that by His grace we'll be able to do it. You know, I want you to understand as well, you know, so I think sometimes when people say, well, it's not by might or power, it's by the Spirit of the Lord, so we don't have to do anything. No, that's not right. Zerubbabel still had a job to do, but it wasn't just his strength and ability that got it done. It was the Spirit of God working with him as he did those things that he was supposed to do. And that's the way it works for us. We just need to be mindful that we're never working alone. We're always working with the Lord, and His grace is upon us. See, I think a lot of people like Zerubbabel, listen, it might not seem like some big grand thing like building the temple, but in your life, there's some tasks, there's some assignments, there's some things that you know are unfinished, uncompleted. That vision that's been lost and needs to be brought back, that you will trust God and see it done. It's not by power, not by might, but by His Spirit. And with God, all things are possible. Don't give up because there's no progress. Don't give up because you just haven't found the right opportunity. Don't give up because you haven't found the right person. Don't give up because nobody encourages you. Nope. Don't give up because you haven't seen any change yet. Don't give up because of opposition. No. You trust God. You're counting on His grace. The Spirit of God working on your behalf. Verse 7, who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. Who are you, O great mountain? You know, there was no actual mountain there, not a literal mountain. But it was this opposition, the obstacles. That's what was in the way. It was a mountain of impossibility, a mountain of lack, a mountain that he couldn't do it on his own. But here's the thing. God is able to remove the mountain. With God, all things are possible. There's no mountain that's too big for the Lord. We need to realize that a lot of the time, you see, we get our eyes on the mountain, on all the problems and the obstacles and the why we can't. But what we need to do is have our eyes on our God and realize that He is for us. Who are you, O mountain? You know, I think there's a certain amount of disrespect for that mountain. And we should never disrespect people, but we need to have a little disrespect for the obstacles and the challenges that are before us that would stand in the way of what God wants to do. Because I want to tell you that before God, they're nothing. Who are you, O mountain? Don't magnify the problems, but instead magnify the Lord. It doesn't matter how big that mountain is. It's small before an almighty God. We just worry way too much about the obstacles. In verse 7 it says, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. The capstone was the final stone to be set in place. And he says that Zerubbabel is going to bring that capstone. He's going to finish the job. And so can we. We can finish the task that God has given to us. God's favor was on Zerubbabel to finish what he'd given him to do. And you see, if Zerubbabel could have done it on his own, He could have taken the credit, but it was God. And he had to acknowledge it was God. It was not the might or wisdom of man, not the character or the fortitude of man, but it was the grace of God. We're saved by grace. And if we are anything at all, it is by the grace of God. If we have any gifts or callings on our life, it is by the grace of God. If we accomplish anything, it is really by the grace of God working in us. And here's what I want to say to you. How many blessings have we received? How many answers to prayer? How many victories have we won that we just really failed to give all of the glory to God? He deserves the glory. Zerubbabel, he was to shout, "Grace, grace." Not look what I did, look what I've accomplished. No, as he brought that final stone and completed his task, he was to shout, "Grace, grace." And I would encourage you to testify, to glorify God. Whenever you have a breakthrough, see, when that victory finally comes, that you shout grace. I mean, when you get that new job, you get that new home, when your marriage is restored, when your kid makes a turn to serve God, that's when you shout grace, grace. You give God the glory. And here's the thing, I think a lot of us, we have some blessings. We've had so many good things happen, and we need to testify to the world and tell them that it's God's grace. It's just grace. See, we don't get the credit. We give it all to God. He's the one that enables us to be able to finish whatever assignments. As you carry that last stone, you say, "Grace, grace." Verse 8, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you.'" He started it. He's going to finish it. "For who has despised the day of small things?" You see, no matter how small you start, no matter how insignificant it might seem, when you don't have enough, when nobody else acknowledges, don't despise the small things. When you need to feed 5,000, what good is a kid's sack lunch? I'm just telling you, that whatever we put in the hands of God, you see, it might seem small, it might seem like we don't have what it takes, but when you put it in the hands of God, it is more than enough. That's right. Then he says, "For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth." The plumb line is a builder's tool. Zerubbabel was at work, and the plumb line is used to check the walls and make sure they're straight. This tells us that it was finished. He had finished his task, what God had given him to do. And then we need to understand, the eyes of the Lord go throughout the earth. He's watching over us. He's watching over us to help us, to bless us, to give us the grace we need to finish our task too. And we all start with some small things. You got to start where you are. But some of us need to get started on those assignments. And you got to decide that you're going to finish. You're not going to quit somewhere along the way. But by the grace of God, you're going to keep on until you finish whatever the Lord gave you to do. Don't allow personal weakness to stop you. God's grace is sufficient. Don't allow past failures to stop you. God's grace is enough. Don't allow feelings of inadequacy or the fear of failure to stop you. God's grace is enough. We are saved by grace. We serve by grace. And we're going to finish by grace. Don't forget to shout, grace, grace, when you finish. I love that this is Grace Church. Every time I drive by or I pull in the parking lot and I see the beautiful building that God has blessed us with, it's grace, grace. See, others might not think it's any big deal, but I know it's grace, grace. And I know that it's paid off. Grace, grace. Oh, but more importantly, much more than that, when I think about the people that God has brought together in this body as brothers and sisters in the Lord, the sweetest people that I get to pastor, grace, grace, grace. I just want to encourage you today. God loves you, and His grace is on your life to help you to finish all that He's given you to do, that you'll come out in victory and be able to say, grace, grace. Amen, amen. I want us to just pray together. Father God, I thank You for the grace of God that's upon each and every one of us. I thank You, Lord, for my brothers and sisters who have joined us online in worship and prayer and the Word. And I pray, Father, that today, Lord, You would just strengthen and encourage their heart. Lord, that they will know that by Your grace, Lord, they will win in the end, that they will overcome. Father, that You will make a way. And I thank You for that, Father. I just pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, for those that might be sick this morning or struggling with some other issue. I just pray, Father, that You'd be with them and comfort them. And Father, we just give You glory and honor and thanks for all of Your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.